Paul goes on to instruct bishops in the person of Timothy. Teach and urge these things, the things he's just been talking about. Whoever teaches something different and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the religious teaching, that is, of the band of apostles, is conceited, understanding nothing. Occupational hazard when you teach. You want everybody to think you're bright. Who cares whether you're bright or not? It's Jesus who's bright. And so, as Paul said, I resolve to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So now he's giving this advice to Timothy. From these, that is, arguments and verbal disputes, from these come envy, rivalry, insults, evil suspicions, and mutual friction among people with corrupted minds who are deprived of the truth, supposing religion to be a means of gain. Occupational hazard. Since we, our priests, are paid a salary from the diocese, I don't get one because I'm supported from here. But these other guys, you know, they have to. The danger is you don't want to say anything that'll offend your congregation because that'll diminish the collection. But you have to. You have to. And so Paul is just saying to Timothy, watch that. Rich person comes in, you're very nice to them. Poor person comes in, I'm sorry, I'm busy. And these are occupational hazards, right? And they affect the way we live the faith and the way we care for the faith. Indeed, religion with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we'll take nothing out of it. So if we have food and clothing, we should be content with that. Those who want to be rich are falling into temptation and into a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires which plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evils. If you got money, you got power. You can do what you want. You can take trips, buy clothes, do that stuff. It's a terrible illusion. It's a terrible illusion. Nobody says we don't need some money. You know, you got to buy food. You got to educate the children. You got to watch it. But you, man of God, avoid all this. Instead, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. So who's my opponent in this competition? Me. All the stupid things I can want to do or do and water down the gospel. So it's very fine advice, huh? Lay the last of it is amazing. You can think about this part. Lay hold of eternal life. Now, lay hold of it. Be aware that you have an eternal life within you. And cultivate it. Stay away from those things that are going to diminish it, you see. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. That's what people do on Holy Saturday night. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty? Right. Do you believe? That's the noble confession. Okay. This other text, very beautiful. And one of the characteristics of Luke's gospel is he's very sensitive to women. If you notice, in many parts of his gospel, there's a man and a woman. The man with the withered hand, the woman with, you know, the miracles pair up. You just notice that. So here he's talking about the women who accompanied him. Now, I don't know what their husbands thought of that. Maybe they were all without, you know, the husband might have died, I don't know. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. She was in trouble. Is this the Magdala who went in, washed Jesus' feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair? Probably. But boy, when she was cured, she was cured. When she followed Jesus everywhere. She stood at the foot of the cross, which identifies you with the criminal. And she was up in the morning as early as possible to go back to the tomb and just weep. She was in for a surprise. So it's very interesting to see how a lot of the church is supported, not just financially, by really Christian women. I mean, they all work in these rectories, you know, for a pittance. Well, there's only pittances around, so that's all they can have. But what would happen to the local parish if the women stopped coming to work? Halas, it'd be over. And it's just, it's nice to meditate on that. You know, they never are the pastor or the preacher, but they're there. And they run the place. And imagine what would happen to Tom LaHood if he had to start keeping track of all the paperwork and all the... He'd go nuts. The Lord knows that. And though most of these women are just doing it out of generosity and zeal, and I'm getting paid a salary, I would suppose, but the Lord is going to remind them of what help they were to the parish, to the order, to the whatever. You know, many nights women bring me my supper. What have I ever done for them? I never gave them a supper. But the Lord will never forget those things. So anyway, it's an interesting to think of that. We must go on.